brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you. With a 66% rise in the sales of sustainable beauty products since 2019, the clean beauty movement is well and truly established. It's no surprise then that the industry is responding to growth. On the 13th and 14th of April, the brewery in London will welcome the first clean beauty trade show experience. With everything from packaging to formulators under one roof, this is great news for consumers who place value on ensuring their products are better for themselves and the planet. So I'm excited to talk to the show organisers now to find out more about the show and what it means for the future of clean beauty. So joining me now is Sandra McGuirin, who is the director of the Clean Beauty in London show, which we're very excited to talk about today. And along with her is Leah Mitru-Dumont. So lovely to have you both with us. So first of all, Sandra, if we could just briefly touch on what clean beauty is and why you think it's important to have a show dedicated to this.
So hello, everybody. I'm very happy to be here with you, Natalie. Thank you very much for the invitation. So clean beauty is a concept that has been launched in the United States some years ago, and it was all about food at the beginning. And furthermore, they decided in the United States to extend this concept to the beauty sector. And it was the young brands, the indie brands, that launched the beauty, the clean beauty, movement at the beginning. And it took a very, very huge enthusiasm. The consumers were very interested in this new concept because the genesis of the clean beauty is to use safe products for the planet, for the animals, for the human. Safe, when we said safe, it means natural or non-natural or a lab concept products. It doesn't have to be natural to be clean beauty. So this concept was long time ago developed in the United States, and then it came to the other part of the world. And we decided 2 years ago to launch a show dedicated to clean beauty only to help the small brands, the indie brands, to find the right suppliers to help them develop their collection of beauty products.
Absolutely. And so, Leah, could you tell me a bit more about what we could expect to see at the show? What sort of brands are there? What sort of organisations are there? What can we find?
So basically, it's a B2B show, so it's a professional trade show. And the exhibitor will be suppliers from the beauty industry, private labels, packaging, accessories, ingredients, formulation suppliers as a full service or turnkey solutions suppliers. And our visitors can be brands, indie brands, legacy brands. There will be also some influencers, the press, and the retailers and distributors. And also we are doing a conference program around the clean beauty topics. Regulation, clean packaging, how to launch a skincare line, talking about the certification, the labels. We have a label called Nature Cult coming to explain what are the main things to know to be labelized, etc.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. I mean, obviously, you know, you're both aware that I've got a clean beauty brand myself, Sacred. You know, this is it's so important to me. And I've been one of those indie fringe brands that has really been quite courageous in coming forward and saying it is possible to create beauty products that perform incredibly well, but that are safe and that are clean. And it's obviously got to a point there where it's you know, actually, it's more than a fringe movement now, isn't it? It's a real changing point in the beauty industry as a whole. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we can see that The moment has started long before the pandemic, but because of that, people are more aware of what they're buying. They want to understand better what they put on their skin, but also their impact on their environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And how important is it to consumers, do you think, now that brands are transparent? I mean, I remember back in the day, you know, when I was a teenager growing up, there were, you know, an abundance of products with very complicated ingredient names. It was used in a way that was marketed to me. It was baffling. It was a bit overwhelming, but I almost didn't doubt it because I didn't understand it. So I just believed whatever they told me. Have things changed now? Consumers want more transparency and things they understand?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, transparency is honesty for the consumer. They want to understand what they are buying and to understand and to know the ingredients, what they're putting in their on their skin. So they are conscious that the fact that they're loving the earth is an extension of what of loving their self. So it means at the same time integrity and honesty.
I think that this movement of transparency has started with the paraben bashing, because we realized at that time that we can use products that are dangerous for ourselves, and it started with that, I guess, that the paraben bashing was a very good point for us. Of course, it was benefit for us. But at the same time, we realized that the major beauty producers could have used products that are toxic and not good for us. I think that it opened the wide environment of transparency.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, off the back of that, you know, in the industry, we're all very familiar with the terms clean washing and greenwashing. And, you know, you're quite right. You know, the big beauty brands, the big beauty conglomerates, for years, they've been using these types of ingredients and we've not really understood what they are. Now, suddenly, there's this real education piece and consumers are very much more aware. I mean, thanks to the internet, I suppose, we can all research so much easier. But even now we see, don't we, brands saying, oh, we're free from parabens or we're free from SLS. But actually, they're not clean, are they? How does that work? You know, we're aware of it. What does a consumer need to be aware of? If someone's marketing on the front of their bottle that they're paraben free, does that necessarily mean that they're completely clean?
No, not at all, because... okay, you're not using the preservative, which is the paraben. So what are you using instead?
Absolutely.
Is it toxic, non-toxic? I mean, we don't know. So the advantage and the claim, the major claim of the clean beauty is to say all of the products inside this beauty product, all of the ingredients are safe for you, non-toxic. No matter if it's this volume or this volume of ingredients inside the products, it's non-toxic. It's non-toxic for you, it's non-toxic for the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right. I understand that. I really hope that the listeners get that because that's so important. And like you said, you mentioned earlier on, it doesn't have to be just natural. There are synthetically derived ingredients that are also safe. And that's what the clean is all about, being safe. And I want to move on a bit to science. Now, Sacred has actually come under attack directly from competitor brands that maybe aren't focused on, you know, using more of the clean ingredients that Sacred is. And one of the terms or one of the things I have to argue quite regularly are other brands saying that clean beauty disregards science. What can you do to help me answer that? Leo, have you got any points you can add about that? Because I know that in the formulation of any beauty product works hand in hand with science. And it's completely untrue to state that a clean beauty product is basically just, I mean, the picture I always describe to people is a load of hippies stuffing flowers into bottles. That's not what it is it?
I mean, for me, cosmetics industry is linked to science because from start to finish, you take a raw ingredient and then you do your formulation, and there are a lot of people behind that, and there are fantastic scientists behind all the product we are buying. So it's linked to science. It's the science itself, cosmetics.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always say, you know, it's more of the science of botanics. You know, it's taking those very raw ingredients, and you know, the whole reason for my brand's name, Sacred, is linked to that whole ancestral knowledge. You know, we have knowledge of what the planet provides for us and how it can benefit our bodies, and the science of clean beauty is taking that and harnessing it and putting it into a bottle or a tube or a tub in a way that is possible for a consumer to then benefit on their bodies. So yeah, it's I think that's really important that we get that across. And let's talk a bit, I mean, I know that at the show you're going to have these conferences, and one of them is going to be talking about regulation, and you know, what can the industry do to help itself a bit more with the term clean beauty? Where do you think it's tripping itself up, and what do you think it can do?
I'm not quite sure that the industry is moving forward very quickly to organize all the industry around the clean beauty label, for example. And I might be a little bit rude, but I think that it's because of the lobby of the major groups. To me, there is no other explanation than this one. And because the major beauty producers are not all of them ready to only provide to the consumers the clean beauty products, and let's say 70 or 80% of their product is not at all clean beauty, so they are not moving towards the clean beauty level. And I think that's the major thing that prevent us to have this label.
I mean, you mentioned earlier that actually, you know, environmental factors are a kind of offshoot of clean beauty, really, aren't they? Because anyone who is really interested in clean beauty products, naturally, I think, gravitates towards having more concerns for the planet and ensuring that actually things like the packaging, things like, you know, anything that goes into that product not only doesn't harm them, but doesn't harm the environment around them. So all clean beauty brands, actually, we have to put a lot of consideration into the type of packaging material we choose, don't we? And there's so many options as well. So, I mean, that in itself, I think, is going to be a really interesting conversation to hear, because, you know, there'll be hundreds of clean beauty brands saying, I need help from packaging manufacturers. You know, I've not entered into this industry to become a packaging specialist. Mm-hmm. I've got a brand, I've got a formula. Help me package it in a way that is acceptable. I mean, what do you think of that, Sandra? Do you feel that?
Yes, it's exactly the point. You reached the right point, because the reason why we have launched this show is to bring to the young brands, to the brands, no matter if they are young, small, big, solutions to find the right formulation, the right ingredient, and the right packaging. And this is why most of our exhibitors to this brand new show next month are turnkey companies. It means that a young brand, a small, medium like yours, for example, if you were looking for a packager a company, a packaging company or a formulation company, instead of going through 10 interviews, mm-hmm. you're going to one, to a turnkey company, and they will help you. They will help you according to the formulation and the ingredients you have chosen to find the right packaging, because not all packagings can go with all formulation. So you have to see a specialist, what our show is providing, expert of clean beauty manufacturing.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. And I just wanted to end really by asking you both, who do you most admire within the clean beauty movement? I mean, there have been a lot of brands that have emerged that are really passionate about what they do, but there's also a lot of individuals that are quite outspoken. Who's getting your attention at the moment?
As far as I'm concerned, I can't mention one person, just because this is a movement, and this movement came at the same time from consumers, from brands, from big brands, small brands. So it's a community.
Yeah.
And the power of this community is huge. But again, they are against major companies that are a little bit limited in developing their clean beauty concept. So I'm relying on the young brands and the young generation to push this movement to be a new normal.
Yeah, absolutely. And if anyone's listening into the show today and they are a brand, or that perhaps are at the point where they're considering formulating a brand, which is a really exciting and daunting time in your journey, where can they find out more about how to get to the show, how to obtain tickets? Leah, is it all available on your website?
Yeah, on the website, we also have an Instagram page and a LinkedIn page called Clean Beauty in London.
Okay.
So you can have all the information you need if you want to take your ticket.
Brilliant. Okay, so the Instagram is at Clean Beauty London, and the website address is cleanbeautylondon.com. Okay, perfect. Okay, so yeah, head to the website if you want to know more. I know that Sacred, we're definitely there at the show as well. I mean, I think it's brilliant to have all of these brands, all of this, you know, the industry infrastructure, like packaging, like formulators, like the legality side of stuff, to have it all under one roof. It can only help that tribe to become stronger. So yeah, really looking forward to the show. So that's the 13th and 14th of April at the Brewery in London.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, clean beauty, is it just a flash in the pan, or is this movement representing the future of the beauty and cosmetics industries? Do we want safer, greener and more relatable products? Well, joining me now is Patrick Boss, the CEO of Dr. Jackson Skincare. And he's brought along Chris Jurekecz, who is his Chief Scientific Officer. Lovely to meet you both. Thank you for joining us. And okay. I just wanted to start, if I can, Patrick, by just to you as the CEO of a company that really does focus on being a science-led, sustainable, but natural beauty company. What does a clean beauty product mean to you? What is that definition to you at Dr. Jackson's?
I think clean beauty nowadays is, of course, a buzzword that's being used by a lot of companies and from a marketing perspective. But I want to make clear that when the company was founded, this is in 2012, Dr. Jackson's was actually established based on how we see clean beauty nowadays. And, you know, the company was founded by Dr. Jackson's. Dr. Jackson's is a pharmacognosist. Basically, that is a study of natural medicine derived from plants and their traditional uses of it. So during his academic career, he had research positions at King's College and University of London. And he was actually also specialized in melanoma. Mm-hmm. And he advised also the NHS on how to use natural ingredients when it comes, after chemotherapy and stuff like that. So he had a lot of knowledge when it comes to natural ingredients, I would say, and especially in medicinal plants. And I think this is, of course, in essence, is super key to our brand. But coming back to your question, I think clean beauty as a whole is seen as, you know, the use of clean ingredients. Mm-hmm. Now, what is clean? I think we have a very holistic approach to that. It's not so much about just not being harmful to the skin, but also what it does to the system, the body itself. You know, some ingredients can also have some effect on hormonal changes and stuff like that. So I think that's one aspect. The second thing is that, you know, a lot of consumers like to have a transparent labels on the product. This is another part that I think everybody within the clean beauty industry wants to show to their customers, that, you know, we have nothing to hide. This is what we are about. But I think when people think about clean beauty, they probably think about it needs to be organic. Mm-hmm. It needs to be natural. But not necessarily we believe that's the case. I think how we see natural is like not all our products are 100% natural, because sure. What we drive is you know, to have the best product possible, science-backed, so making sure that whatever we're doing and put together in terms of ingredients, you know, they actually work. And they're, you know, nowadays creating a natural or a clean product is quite easy. You can just contact any manufacturer and say, I want 100% natural ingredients, can you help me? But and all these ingredients have science behind it, of course. They have certain features, but in the end, putting loads of stuff together not necessarily mean that it works. So I think we as a company build an additional layer, and that's why we have someone like Chris in our company to support us in along this journey. It's not, you know, I'm not a scientist, I run a company. So I need people in my team to really guide me along this journey. And I think an extra layer that we have as a company is that whoever ingredients that we're using is actually also then sustainably sourced. Yeah. So we dive really deep into where does it come from, making sure that, you know, we support the people in these areas around the world, because we want to give back to the planet. And, you know, for example, one of our key ingredients is baobab, mm-hmm. and which is a fantastic ingredient. And it basically comes back in most of our products, also because Dr. Jackson's is specialized, I would say, an expert in this specific product, together with another ingredient called Gagilia. But we make sure that, you know, we're linked now to 1% for the planet, which is basically 1% of our turnover goes back to charity. And the charity we're supporting is the baobab community in Africa. So we want to make sure that whatever we're doing, we're still giving back to the world. On top of having a fantastic product.
Yeah, fantastic. I just wanted to pick up on a few things you said there, actually, Patrick, if I can. You mentioned the Kigelia tree, also known as the sausage tree. Now, I'd never heard of this, and I'm quite up on my plants and you know, the holistic approach to what benefits they can have on the body. What on earth is that tree, and what benefits can it have for the body?
I think this is one for a great for Chris to answer.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Chris, go ahead.
Hello, hi. So Kigelia africana, it's an amazing tree. It's native to sub-Saharan Africa. And traditionally, all parts of this plant have been used, but especially the pulp of Kigelia africana. Women in Africa used to use it and to apply it on the breast area, because they noticed that it has the properties of firming the skin and increases skin's elasticity. So actually, as Patrick mentioned earlier, Dr. Jackson spent a lot of years focusing specifically on this plant, Kigelia africana. And then upon further research, he actually found compounds that later proved to be melanin inhibitors. So that's why he later on focused even more on melanoma. So this plant, Kigelia africana, is actually, as well as baobab, present throughout our range. It's one of our key ingredients. So on one hand, this plant has amazing properties in terms of skin firmness and elasticity, but also it's great for anti-hyperpigmentation properties, which is why it's present in almost all of our product range.
Yeah, excellent. And Chris, staying with you for a second, if we can. Mm-hmm. So I brought that up, that that new plant that was new to me, because mm-hmm. actually with this whole movement into products becoming greener, becoming safer, mm-hmm. becoming cleaner, consumers are going to have to start to become more aware of these exotic plants, aren't they? And it's a really interesting point, because, you know, we're all now familiar with the terms parabens, SLS, mm-hmm. You know, all these kind of synthetically derived ingredients that are part of a formula. But how can a brand help a consumer to have a better understanding of the plants? What do you guys do to help that?
Right. So first thing I would say is that there has definitely been a transformation. I noticed a transformation in beauty industry overall, with an increasingly important role that ingredients play in positioning of a successful brand. And I think we all noticed that maybe 15 or 20 years ago, people didn't really know what was in their products. So maybe I could even say that they didn't really care what was in their products, but that's absolutely not the case anymore. I think people and consumers are a lot more educated nowadays and aware of all the ingredient lists, and they actually look into it and they go online and they check, what is this ingredient? What does it do? So as Patrick mentioned earlier, transparency is one of the most important things for us. You know, we make sure that always consumers know exactly what is in the ingredient list. There are no hidden ingredients, or rather there aren't any ingredients that are used as umbrella terms, such as fragrance, and then you could have a bunch of other ingredients mm-hmm. within that. So I think step one is definitely transparency. And I don't think that you need to be a chemist to navigate through all this, because nowadays I think we're lucky that there are a lot more platforms where you can actually just search up cosmetic ingredients, and then you can get a lot of information on its toxicity level. So it's a lot more accessible nowadays, which is very good. This is a part of the movement of clean beauty industry.
Yeah. But I mean, I use the Think Dirty app. That's just brilliant, isn't
yes.
it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic yeah. example of the industry really pulling together and helping the consumer, giving a platform mm-hmm. to brands to really explain themselves. So, yeah, that's excellent. And
I think Think Dirty is great. I think there's another one called the Good Face Project.
Good Face Project, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've not heard of that one. Okay, well, I'll have to look up that one as well then. Yeah, I think Think Dirty is the one that people are mm-hmm. most identify with, but there are some other ones emerging as well, and they're a fantastic support. And you know, you're touching then upon, we don't really have to have, or consumers shouldn't have to have a scientific background to really understand yeah. their products. I think you're absolutely right with that. But there is an argument from the industry, from within the industry itself, where brands that tend to lean more into these kind of hidden ingredients or synthetically derived products are making a statement that clean beauty disregards science. As a scientist, what do you say to that?
Well, I think that's absolutely wrong, to put it simply. I don't think that clean beauty brands disregard science. And my point is, science is not exclusive. Science is not exclusive to any particular brand, to any particular skincare movement. And science is involved in every step of the way, from formulating the product to manufacturing. And if you want to make sure that your product is safe and that it is also effective, science must be involved in every step of the way. So just because a brand is clean beauty, it doesn't mean that science isn't involved in the process. And Dr. Yeah. Jackson's is a really good example. You know, before this brand was even launched, Dr. Jackson's behind had so many years of scientific research. So it's actually what it stems from. So just saying that clean beauty brands disregard science, it's just not true, really.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I mentioned that because, I mean, obviously with mm-hmm. my listeners are aware that I have my own brand, Sacred, and with mm-hmm. my brand head on, you know, I actually entered into a bit of a kind of media spat with the founder of a brand that was trying to imply that of Sacred. And it's lovely, actually, Dr. Jackson's to have, you know, mm-hmm. a scientist sat here saying, well, actually, that's not what we're about. And,
yes.
you know, it has to be science-led. It just
right.
has
so
to be.
So there isn't a hard line between clean beauty or natural beauty and
yeah.
science. And brands like ourselves is basically positioning itself at an intersection between clean and science. And I think, that, my personal opinion, that's the right direction to
yeah,
go
definitely.
Towards.
Yeah, I think it's lovely because what we're kind of getting back to is this lovely ancestral knowledge that we have of plants that we kind of lost our way with a little bit over the last few decades. And it's kind of going back to that idea of we have a huge knowledge of plants and nature and how it can support the human body function. And when science meets together with that, mm-hmm. something quite wonderful is created. So Patrick, back to you if we can. Talking about the synthetically derived brands, why is it, you think, with your business head on, what reason do you think that brands would have to still use these ingredients that we know are questionable, that we know we have evidence to say that they are potentially harmful to human health? What do you think the reason that people are still using them?
I think the main thing is what is regulations. I think it comes down to that. They're still allowed to use these kind of ingredients, and I think, you know, our aim as a brand is to just get the standard of the industry to a level where maybe these you know, ingredients are actually banned. So I think that's one. But the second thing is always cost, right? Mm-hmm. I think we know that just creating a natural brand is not, you know, as cheap as a synthetic ingredient is a lot cheaper, right? So in order to have a mass market product, you know, I'm coming from another brand in the past where we also try to be as natural as possible, but still have to use some sort of chemicals because, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to be a mass market product and be appealing in every single supermarket across the world and you have a retail price that's up to maybe £10, you can't really necessarily make that with all the natural ingredients. It's not possible. I think it just comes down to the industry and the, you know, what consumers want. And you know, if that shift actually changes and people are potentially willing to pay slightly more on an average, like, and you know, that's great. But on the other hand, you know, not everybody can afford, you know, 100% natural product that works and is great and is fantastic and has all the credentials from sustainability point of view for £40. I think it all comes down to economics, to be honest.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, that makes real sense. Do you think then, though, if regulation was to catch up and it was to say, actually, there's a whole host of agreeable ingredients that are currently on the list that, yeah, we think we need to remove. So the knock-on effect of that, of course, is that the larger beauty conglomerates are unable to use them anymore. And so therefore, the more natural ingredients need to be more widely available. I think the overall effect there is that the prices of supply is going to just naturally come down as more there's more demand for it. So it's kind of a knock-on effect, really, isn't it? But we're at a very chicken and egg situation at the moment with the kind of clean and natural movement, in that something needs to give to start to shift mentality towards it.
Yeah, but I think there's also then a bigger question is, you know, like as you said, if we go down that route and also from a production point of view, we should be able to do this, and we need to make sure that the whole, you know, the planet is not suffering because of this at the same time. It's a very difficult debate, I think. And
it is really difficult. Well, I just wanted to sort of end by thanking you both for joining me today. And could you just give our listeners the URL for Dr. Jackson's? Where can they find your products?
Of course, it's www.drjacksonskincare.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com. Or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now. But did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so joining me now is Pontine Pouse, the founder of beauty brand Dr. Lip. Thank you very much for joining me today, Pontine. It's lovely to have you on the show. And I just want to start really by introducing your brand to our listeners. So could you just tell us a bit more about the sort of products you offer and a bit about the ethos behind Dr. Lip?
Oh, hi, Natalie. It's great to meet you here. So Dr. Lip is a brand I started 17 years ago with one product, with one ingredient. Everybody thought it was really mad. We launched this space in K nationwide. And after a few months, we were third bestseller out of 28 different lip products. Wow. The product was called the Original Nipple Balm for dry skin, luscious lips and glossy bits.
Lovely.
So in essence, what I did is I took something out of the breastfeeding market and I introduced it into the beauty market because it was so good. And what happened was that I had a lot of eczema myself and a lot of very dry skin. And I couldn't find anything that works. I had particularly chapped lips, but I also had eczema patches above my eyelids and around my wrists and etc. And I just tried everything I could find on the market and really nothing worked until one day somebody said, why don't you try some nipple balm? And I was sold literally within a few hours. I could just, I could immediately feel that it was working. And so for years, I used to go around with this massive clunky tube and people would be like, what's this? And I say, it's nipple balm. And people would be like, what? What do you mean it's nipple balm? And we had lots of fun and games and jokes for dinner parties, but it really worked. And I just thought, you know what? More people should know about this. I mean, you're not going to go into the beauty aisle, I mean, to the breastfeeding aisle to look for a product that's going to solve your dry skin problems. And so that was the impetus behind starting Dr. Lip. I then approached Nikki Kinnard at Space NK, who's the founder of Space NK, and I said, listen, I've got this crazy idea of introducing nipple balm into beauty. What do you think? And she loved the idea. And at the time, I think we were the only 100% natural brand in Space NK.
Yeah.
So we were a bit of a pioneer on the natural side and on the multi-use side, actually.
Yeah. And the multi-use element is just, well, it's steaming on now, isn't it? I mean, people really understand now, just because something's called a nipple balm doesn't mean to say you can't use it actually on your lips or anywhere else on your body. And that actually, you know, for years, I think so many beauty products have pulled the wool over so many consumers' eyes, because just because something's called a shampoo or a lip balm doesn't actually mean to say you can't use it somewhere else on the body. So, yeah, you've really pioneered that. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, this is exactly it. I mean, I think that there's a big intention between a lot of the big brands to sell as many SKUs as possible to the consumer. But really, something that's, what was it, the trainer at Space NK used to say to me, well, if it's good enough for my nipples, it's good enough for everywhere else.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Right? And we also know that if it's so safe that babies can, you know, settle your nipple when you're breastfeeding and it doesn't cause any harm to the baby, then it's definitely going to not cause any harm to you. That's the validation and proof behind the ingredients, actually.
Yeah,
Okay.
Well, I mean, the focus of the show is, of course, looking at clean beauty and this whole rise of this term and what it means to both the beauty industry and to consumers. One of the main points I've actually been touching on within this show is that there's no real clear definition at the moment within the industry itself about what constitutes a clean beauty product. And it's actually being left down to the brands themselves to clarify this to their particular audience, their consumers, and to drive the education behind it. So what does the term clean beauty mean at Dr. Lip?
That is, just to sort of start off, I think it's very confusing, this term. There is no official accreditation as to what it means. And so it's very confusing for consumers. So we try and focus on, you know, explaining to you that we're 100% natural. Rather than using the term clean, because I think it's, like I said, it's confusing. But for us, what we're trying to do is we're approach the whole concept of making products that have no allergens, that have no fossil fuels, have no there are no chemicals. There's a list of about 1,800 chemicals that are sort of bad for you that can be used in skincare sometimes. And we make sure we have none of those in there. So we're really sort of coming from two different angles, a sustainability angle, but also from a trying to make products that really have as few ingredients as possible with full transparency so that consumers can really see what's inside in an easy way, in an easy to understand way, so they can decide for themselves whether this is something that they want to expose their skin to or not.
Yeah.
People have different allergies, and I think it's more about informing people what's inside so people can make the decision for themselves.
Yeah. And why is it important to you? I mean, you know, you're the founder of Dr. Lip. Why is it, you know, that importance of naturally derived and 100% natural? What is it to you as an individual that makes that important?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I think when we say 100% natural, that basically means that it's not, there's no fossil fuels. So everything comes from from the earth, but fossil fuels meaning petroleum jelly, right?
Yeah.
And petroleum jelly has been buried underneath the ground for so many thousands of years or millions of years, and it's got full, it's got a lot of nasty ingredients in it that, that humans do react badly to. Now, that's not to say that you can't get great products from fossil fuels, mm-hmm. but it's very difficult to know which ones are the good ones and which ones are the bad ones for your skin. So it just makes it much, much easier for the consumer to understand, yes, here we've got no ingredients with no fossil fuels in our ingredients. Mm-hmm. Your skin is your biggest organ on your in your body. And you think of the skin as a barrier to the outside world, but it actually is extremely porous. So nowadays you can even get vitamin C patches, which are skin patches that you put on your skin to absorb the vitamin C or vitamins. So I think that's just a really good example to show that.
I'm sure the statistic is something like 60% of what you put onto your body can actually be absorbed into the bloodstream. So yeah, it's incredibly significant.
That's right. And what we find is that, especially with petroleum-derived ingredients, a lot of them can be endocrine disruptors. So they're just making an imbalance to our hormones, and that's not very good. So if we can try and eliminate or try and sort of stay away, I mean, obviously you can't do anything 100% in the world, but I think our world has become so full of pollutants with plastics, which are big endocrine disruptors, estrogen, you know, they encourage the production of estrogen, which is cancerous. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to make things as natural as possible so that your body can thrive and not be, and not have to fight more things, if you like.
Within the industry itself, you know, I've sort of felt that most of the resistance so far to these types of products is coming from beauty industry itself. Why do you think this is? Why would the beauty industry be so resistant to, you know, companies that are emerging that are basically recognising this demand from consumers for more natural products? And yet there's this humongous resistance, and it takes an awful lot of effort on the part of brands such as yourselves to really educate and push forward these types of products?
Well, I think there's a lot of big, large brands out there that are heavily invested in chemical-based ingredients. There's a lot of investment in there. So obviously, then it's going to be very difficult and heavy for them to change. So you're going to get resistance there, and they have a lot of power within the beauty space. So there's also a lot of formulation scientists that will argue that the chemical-based products are actually good for you or actually fine for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's partly education and the way they've been educated, because there is a very limited number of natural ingredients to make formulations with.
Yeah.
So when I work with my formulation scientists, they get very frustrated with me because they want to use chemical ingredients. And I'm like, no, we don't want to use any chemical ingredients. And that really limits their universe. So it's much more interesting for them to make products that have this much wider, with this much wider spectrum of ingredients that they can use. So you'll get resistance from that side too.
Yeah, sure. And what about regulation? Do you think regulation could catch up a little bit with, you know, there's an enormous growing amount of people that are really interested in the ingredient side. You know, for many decades, I think very, very few of us paid much attention to the ingredient side of a bottle or a container. Mm-hmm. And suddenly here we all are becoming much more educated, much more aware, much more conscious of what's going on to our skin. And so therefore, you know, there is this growing demand. Do you think regulation's caught up with that, or do you think it's got some way to go?
I'm not a big fan of regulation, because I think regulation, I think it's very hard to create a rule that works for all. And so I do think the best thing is for brands to communicate what they do and educate consumers, and for consumers to make their own decisions. And I think the power lies with the consumer to make choices.
Yeah.
And the most important, I think, is up to the retailers to start bringing in the choices into their chains, so that consumers can make their choices as to what they want to do. And, you know, different people are different in what different things.
Yeah, sure.
So I believe in that variety, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more there. I mean, as long as people have all the education, all the information in front of them, it's very easy then, isn't it, to make a personal choice that's right for you and your family. Well, that's brilliant, Pontine. I really, really appreciate your input on that, actually. It's so important, I think, for the listeners of our show to understand, you know, there's so much choice out there now. And, you know, there are brands like yourselves that are really thinking ahead in the way in which you develop and formulate your products. I mean, the fact that you lean on, you know, very few ingredients for your products is brilliant. Do you have a rule that you'll only go up to so many ingredients?
Maximum 10 ingredients.
Lovely. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that makes designing the packaging a bit easier as well, doesn't it? Not these long-winded ingredients lists.
But also, I noticed myself when I look at product and it's got 30 to 50 ingredients in it, the lettering becomes so small I can't read it, even if I'm wearing my glasses.
Yeah.
And I have no clue what I'm putting on my skin.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you actually touched on something when you said, you know, brands or the industry is only really concerned with, oh, well, there's only so much of this particular ingredient within our product. But you're right. You know, if a product has 35 ingredients within it, which is actually pretty normal, that's pretty standard, isn't it? And you're using 5 to 6 products a day, possibly more, you know, it's the cumulative effect of, you know, constantly bombarding your skin and your body with those types of ingredients that the clean beauty movement avoids. That's completely neglected, actually. I don't think it's at all considered. I mean, I actually did a study recently on myself, and I worked out that by the time I'd left the door in the morning, so from rising at, say, 7 a.m. to leaving the house at 10 a.m., I probably already used about 30 products on my body, including makeup and cosmetics. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? You know, that's overload if I'm not being really conscious about the ingredients in there. So, Right. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to check out your products anyway. Could you give us the URL for your website where our listeners can go?
Yes, of course. It's DrLip, so it's DrLip.com, DrLip.com.
Lovely, brilliant. Well, hopefully people will check that out today and have a good look at the products you've got on offer. Thanks ever so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie, and lovely to meet you.
Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you.